I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show. I'm Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host. My first guest is Dr. Pamela Blair, a holistic psychotherapist, spiritual counselor, and personal coach with a private practice. She has written for numerous magazines, appeared on radio and television talk shows, and co-authored a best-selling book on grief entitled, I Wasn't Ready to Say Goodbye. She's also the author of The Next 50 Years, A Guide for Women at Midlife and Beyond, and her latest book is Getting Older, Better. She lives in Shelburgh, Vermont, and can be reached online at www.pamblair.com. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Dr. Blair, and I look forward to hearing about getting older, better. Now, who is the audience for your book, Getting Older, Better?
Well, thank you for asking. The audience is boomer women, and there are millions of us, although men are finding the book interesting as well, so that's okay. But I specifically wrote it for boomer women because a woman's experience of aging is different than a man's, of course.
Mm-hmm.
We're in different bodies, and we worry about different things. I also wrote it because I had read in the New York Times an article about the possibility that if you're alive today, you could live to 125, given mm-hmm. all kinds of advances in science and biology. And I began to wonder what that would look like and what my passport picture might look like. And that's when I wrote the first incarnation of this current book.
Mm-hmm.
The first one was entitled The Next 50 Years. Also, in 1998, I had an experience that changed the way I look at aging. I suffered a traumatic brain injury when I was struck by a car while sitting at a red light. It was a closed-head traumatic brain injury where your head gets shaken mm-hmm. back and forth. Anyway, I had difficulty seeing after that accident, like, you know, convergence issues. I had balance difficulties, and I had to walk with a cane. I was aphasic, which means I couldn't find words easily. I couldn't drive. I even had hearing issues where I couldn't recognize voices. And I had to ask for help getting to doctor's appointments, and my energy was significantly diminished. However, one of my neuropsychologists suggested that I was probably living the life of an 89-year-old woman.
Mm-hmm.
And although my world became smaller, Carl, I began to experience life, number one, as even more beautiful. As long as I paced myself differently and had a level of acceptance,
mm-hmm.
I found out that 89 wasn't so bad.
Mm-hmm.
So consequently, I'm no longer afraid of aging, and I wanted to share that with other women.
Mm-hmm. Great. Good. And how is this book different than your previous book titled The Next 50 Years?
Well, first of all, Getting Older, Better is updated with new information, and my life experiences at 65 are different than when I was in my early 50s.
Mm-hmm.
So it is really a new book based on an older one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And the book includes over 100 short essays. Why did you use that format?
Well, Getting Older, Better does have shorter essays, and I think it makes for a better read, an easier read, perhaps. You know, you can get through some of the ideas quickly. It gives you time to contemplate and journal responses to each idea or piece of information. So I wanted to keep it, let's say, digestible,
mm-hmm.
all right, rather than some lengthy going on and on and on about something.
Mm-hmm.
So it's I think it's easier to read, although it's not, it wasn't written for children.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. And Dr. Blair, who is your personal inspiration for aging well?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked. My grandmother, Agda Janssen Smith, who died at 102. She was a little Swedish immigrant. And I write about her in the beginning of the book, and a poem dedicated to her ends the book. She was my exemplar for aging well.
Mm-hmm.
My mother aged poorly. She smoked, she baked herself in the sun. She, you know, she didn't make the right kind of choices for her life on an emotional, spiritual level. But my grandmother did. And, P.S., she walked everywhere because she never drove a car.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I think that helped her to age well.
Right, right. is the book comprised mainly of your own research?
Well, Carl, Getting Older Better, it was well-researched by me. And yes, it's mostly my own voice and the wisdom of many, many women from literature, the performing arts, my personal friends, and then some very solid research from various places. But I tried very hard not to bog the book down with research and where it came from and what year and all of that, but to simply say what my take was on the research.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the way I did the book.
Mm-hmm.
Based on solid research, but it doesn't get bogged down in it.
Mm-hmm. Now, you've written several books, and you wrote on grief that is considered to be a classic. And then you also started your career by publishing a newsletter called Surviving Divorce. Why do you choose to write on such different topics?
Well, you know what? Somebody's got to write on them, all right? And at the time that I had the newsletter come out called Surviving Divorce, nobody was really addressing how to do that. And I wasn't suggesting you get one, but if you get one, what are the spiritual implications? What are the life lessons there? What support groups are available? That type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And from that, I got discovered as a writer.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I was asked to co-write I Wasn't Ready to Say Goodbye, which is now used in universities. And it's a classic on grief, and it was used for the 9/11 survivors.
Mm-hmm.
And it became quite famous. But I write about what interests me and what I need to learn.
Mm-hmm.
You know, many writers do that. They write what they need to learn.
Mm-hmm.
So, and aging is not a difficult topic for me. We're all doing it, right?
Well, I hate to think that we write on what we need to learn, because I wrote several books on community health nursing that I was teaching.
Oh.
I guess I needed to learn before I could teach, right?
I guess so. Oh, gosh.
Of course, then I did do one on the homeless, and I did one on cancer, and I did one on holistic aging. So, I mean, it wasn't teaching.
Yeah, I read about
those.
You. You're impressive.
Thank you. I guess I write on what I have experienced in my own life, too. So I think that we all tend to do that, and that does help others.
Do
you have other books, then, in the works?
Well, I've been working on a novel for 7 years, and I'm entertaining an agent sometime in July to see if I can get that book sold. It's a metaphysical, spiritual, environmental novel. And then I'm working on another book on aging with a certified laughter leader called A Boomer's Guide for the Slightly Depressed.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a fun, upbeat book that I'm, it's not one about depression, but I think we all deal with slight depression from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it would be fun to address it as, as an aging sort of thing, as a topic. Yeah.
I see depression, though, the same as I see fear, and they're the opposite end of the continuum from faith.
I think you're right, and fear/anxiety, yes.
Right.
I agree.
Yeah. Right. But it's hard to maintain one's faith at times with changing life situations.
Oh, yes, indeed.
Right.
And aging is a faith challenge and a spiritual challenge.
Right. Then, Dr. Blair, can you tell us a bit about your holistic approach and practice?
Well, my first thought and recommendation is not to say to someone, wow, you need medication, you're very anxious, you're very depressed. My first recommendation is to let's look at ways that you might be able to address your depression, anxiety, fear, whatever it might be, in some holistic ways.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a graduate of the American Institute of Holistic Theology, and so we covered a lot there. I also, when I went to Africa, had meetings with the president of the Zimbabwe Herbal College to discover what herbs would be helpful. However, I couldn't bring any back into the country.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't let
me.
But also the president, Dr. Chavanduka, said to me, you know, our herbs won't work for people in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
because they were grown in African soil. So there you go. But I'm not credentialed as an herbologist or a naturopath or anything like that. But I'll suggest that people try other things besides, mm-hmm. you know, running for the SSRI, the antidepressant, or something like that. And then I do past life regression also to find out if there's something back there that's upsetting in this lifetime. Meditation I recommend, and we do in my office. Visualization, things of that nature. More holistic.
I think it's interesting that they didn't think that the herbs would work in a different country. I think they work, but they aren't as effective. And I think Edgar Cayce many, many, many years ago said that you should eat locally grown foods. And so I think it's probably the same thing. But, you know, we eat foods from all over. Of course, we're not as healthy as we used to be either. But I'm not sure I think a lot of it has to do with the genetically modified foods and the pesticides and everything and that are in our food supply. And partly maybe that it's not locally grown because we tend to vibrate at a certain level and our environment vibrates at a certain level. But we should be able to tolerate things from another country, even though it may not be.
Oh, I think we could tolerate them, but I think you're right, Carl. I think they might not have been as effective. And because he was president of the Herbal College there in a very well-known area, in a very, you know, it's a very well-known college, I think he didn't want to risk that. But then he also said, P.S., if when you get to the airport, they're not going to let you out of the country.
That makes the difference, right, right.
Right there.
Right. Then, Dr. Blair, would you tell us about your books and services and how the listeners can reach you?
Well, I have a beautiful website that I'm very proud of. It's called pamblair.com, P-A-M-B-L-A-I-R.com. I also do Skype and FaceTime sessions with people who need help. I do life coaching, which is different than in-depth psychotherapy. But you can find me through pamblair.com or pamblair at AOL.
Great. Well, I appreciate this very much. It's been interesting and will be helpful for those of us that want to use a holistic approach as we age. And I think that's
the only way
to go. Right.
I hope that people will take away from getting older better, less fear, and a sense of not being alone in the human experience of aging.
Great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Today, I want to tell you about an upcoming movie on holistic, natural, alternative treatment for cancer that you will not want to miss. As many of you know, I am a 40-year lung cancer survivor who used holistic, natural interventions after being given 6 months to live by traditional medicine and offered chemo and surgery that I refused. As a pioneer in the field of holistic, natural treatments for illnesses, who use many of the Edgar Cayce treatments in practice, I know from experience with myself and others that this approach works. In the blog for this upcoming movie, the filmmaker says, "This film purports to activate our constitutional right to benefit from the reversal of the cancer epidemic via holistic medicine, innovative science, eco-community, the law, the blog's campaign, and creative chutzpah. By reversing cancer holistically, the survivor significantly increases lifespan potential under healthy conditions while saving bodily parts, reducing cost, helping the country to fix its sick care system, and eradicate today's costly chronic disease epidemic." The filmmaker, Dr. Christian Jobe, is a naturopathic physician and lawyer, and is well qualified to produce this film and adds credibility to its selected content. The documentary includes both experts in the field and also survivors who used a holistic approach. Some experts in the film include Sylvia Beljansky, Burton Berkson, Gabriel Cousins, Charlotte Gerson, Nicholas Gonzalez, Richard Gordon, Tom Lodi, Keith Mumby, Stephen Ross, and Bradley Weeks. Some survivors who used a holistic approach are Billy Best, a 20-year survivor of Hodgkin's lymphoma, Lori Christian, a survivor of Paget's breast cancer, Carl O'Helvey, a 40-year survivor of lung cancer, and Suzanne Moss, a 20-year survivor of breast cancer. Following the release of this movie on DVD in the next few weeks, a second one is planned that will interview experts and survivors in Europe. To view a trailer for the upcoming movie, go to http://holisticoncologymovie.com. Also, updates are posted on Facebook at https://www.facebook.com/holisticoncologymovie. Please like the page to stay informed on updates. You can also sign up to buy the film at this time. You will not be disappointed because I believe this is the first film that showed a holistic approach to cancer treatment. My second guest is Jenny Giblin, a 29-year-old therapist, yoga instructor, and certified nutritional counselor. She has been featured internationally as a health, wellness, and beauty expert. She has a master's degree in marriage and family therapy from Syracuse University in upstate New York. Along the way, she became a certified yoga instructor through Amazing Yoga in Costa Rica and became a certified nutrition coach. Jenny created the term Therapize, blending therapy with nutrition, yoga, exercise, and lifestyling to help others become the best version of themselves and to live the life of their dreams. Jenny currently coaches clients privately and leads yoga, health, and wellness workshops around the world. More information is available at www.jennygiblin.com. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Jenny, and I look forward to hearing about how you use a holistic approach in your life and profession. Now, first, you were traditionally trained as a therapist before becoming additionally certified as a yoga instructor and nutritional coach. How did you become interested in a holistic approach to treatment?
Well, basically, I ended up moving to Hawaii for about 2 years in between graduate school, where I was becoming trained at Syracuse University in a very clinical-based program. And so while I could see the amazing effects that therapy could have in transforming your lives, I always felt that there was just a little bit missing. And while I lived in Hawaii, I started becoming immersed in hot yoga and learning all about integrative nutrition. And the more I started learning out there, the more it just started to hit me, how does everyone not know this? And so I made the choice. I knew I had to return to graduate school ultimately to finish my degree, and knowing what I was learning over there would have an impact on the clients that I used to treat. And so I knew that it would work, but it was still almost as if it was like an experiment for me, bringing that back from Hawaii to New York. And so luckily, I had very amazing clinical supervisors who allowed me to start integrating this into my practice, and we started to see the effect that that was having on all of my clients based on the rest of the clients who were coming in being treated by others, and mine were having these amazing results. And so the only thing that I was doing different was starting to add in a more holistic approach to this, to this treatment. And so that ultimately led me, after graduating, to really incorporate that into my practice in a big way.
I think that the holistic approach is so important, and when I had cancer, the doctor gave me the physical aspects, which is typical, but I added the mental, spiritual, and I think that the spiritual are just as important as the physical things that I did. And but a lot of people, and I think that had a lot to do with my survival, whereas a lot of people that use just the physical don't quite make it.
Yes, so true. And I think one of the clinical rotations that I did was at Upstate University in the Cancer Center.
Mm-hmm.
And so
mm-hmm.
that was something that became very important to me. My mother was diagnosed with kidney cancer around the same time. And just starting to really, when that happened, it made a huge shift in my life. And I felt like there was no way mm-hmm. that I was going to let her suffer with cancer with everything that I knew mm-hmm. that had the potential to work. And so thankfully, she didn't even end up needing chemo or radiation after
Good.
Really integrating these principles into her life, too.
Mm-hmm.
So I know it can really have that
oh, yeah.
amazing effect
right.
on cancer.
Isn't it wonderful when you see that happen?
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
And then you just want everyone to know.
Mm-hmm. Then, Jenny, how do you incorporate holistic approaches in your own life?
Well, I think for me right now, I have a really large following on Instagram, and so I'm not famous by any means, but I think sometimes that keeps me more accountable, knowing that I kind of have to really do what I practice what I'm preaching, basically.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so for me, I try to make that something that I incorporate from the moments that I wake up. So I have my morning routine. I don't get out of bed before practicing my gratitude routine, which is really just taking a few moments. Instead of thinking about all the things that I have to do today or kind of whatever is stressing me out or my to-do list, really just taking a few moments to start thinking instead about all of the things that I have to be grateful for.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe that's just my bed or my dog or just little things that I can think of. But I spend a few moments in that place, and then I start to begin to feel much more calm, happy, relaxed, and then I get out of bed. First thing that I have every morning is hot water with lemon, and I just find that to be so cleansing and so detoxifying that it starts making you almost crave that instead of the morning coffee that I used to have growing
mm-hmm.
up. And so the next thing I do is I just begin the day with a green smoothie. That's another thing that I started to crave as well. And so really just making little conscious choices throughout the day has added up in a huge way. And so it didn't feel like a huge, kind of like a jarring lifestyle change at all, even though it is so drastically different than how my life was a few years ago. But it was really about just really making choices that feel good for me and incorporating those into my daily life.
Mm-hmm. Great. Then, Jenny, what do you find to be the most effective way for dealing with stress?
I think the most effective way for dealing with stress, that's a good question. I really think that even though it feels different for everybody, there are really similar components to effectively managing stress so that it doesn't have to feel overwhelming or as if it's taking over your life. When you start to feel that happening, because it can seem that way sometimes, it's really only because on some level you've allowed it to become that way and you start letting it take over your mind. And so really just starting to notice and become aware of the thoughts that you're having and then the cycle that begins to take. And so when you start to witness the thoughts that you're having about whatever it is that's stressing you out or causing you stress in any way, just the act of noticing what those thoughts are. And then from there, just having that small, even amount of willingness to really begin to see things differently. And so whether that for you is asking a higher power on a spiritual level to help you see this differently, or just making that choice and that commitment yourself, choosing to see this differently, and then maybe coming up with some kind of a mantra or an affirmation that you can use to begin to block that thought process. So instead of becoming this automatic negative thought process that can begin to really spiral out of control, making the situation seem worse and worse, you can start to really choose to see that differently just by noticing the thoughts, deciding you're going to see this differently, focusing on how you're breathing, and then noticing how that's making you feel as well, and coming up with some kind of an affirmation that literally takes your mind off of that previous thought pattern. And so I think it really just comes down to noticing how am I feeling, what am I thinking, and how am I breathing. And as soon as you change even one of those things from that cycle, you start to really shift the entire cycle without having to change anything happening around you.
Mm-hmm.
So it really truly is happening just from within.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Great. When people feel stressed, they often reach for food, and sometimes they reach for the wrong foods like pizza and ice cream and all the things that are really good. And what do you recommend they do when they feel stressed as far as food?
Well, I think as far as food, yeah, I really think that when we find ourselves reaching for things like pizza or ice cream or any kind of sugary processed foods, It's really because we have some kind of a need that's not being met. And so we're reaching for these things that kind of turn off whatever we're thinking. And so sometimes it's really not even about the food. If it is, sometimes it's because maybe we're not getting as much nutrition as we need. And so when we're really feeling hungry or our blood sugar is really dropping, we tend to reach for things that are going to instantly satisfy us. And so things like carbohydrates or sugar, things like ice cream and pizza. So that's really why we reach for those. And it really doesn't have to be that way. And you don't have to deprive yourself either. So having a craving for pizza, maybe on an occasional night, if you just decide, you know what, I really just want to maybe sit out on my backyard, on the deck, maybe have a glass of wine and some pizza in a way that feels really good, you can still choose to have those moments. So it's a choice.
Mm-hmm.
But it's when that craving feels out of control and you're not in a good emotional place, it's very different when you're just like, I just need pizza right now, and you eat three pieces of it and then you feel horrible later. So you can really start to see those. So just becoming aware of maybe why you're craving that, taking a few deep breaths to take a breathing break in between, and then really making the choice that feels good for you.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes it can be as simple as just planning ahead so that you don't let yourself get that hungry to the place where you feel like you need something, or you don't let yourself get to a place of stress so easily where, again, you feel like you need something like the food to make you feel better. So it can be a good idea sometimes to really plan ahead, notice what you're craving, notice the times that you're craving that, and then come up with maybe something that you can use to replace that craving if you know deep down that that's really not going to make you feel better.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Good advice. Then what is your number one tip for listeners to live a happier, healthier lifestyle?
I think if I had to pick just one thing, it really would be your simple morning routine, because that time of the day, you really have a lot of power to shift the whole rest of the day. Anything you do in that morning routine can be really, really simple, but very, very effective. And so for me, I would just recommend really before you wake up in the morning or right after you wake up, instead of instantly entering into a really stressful place, which can be easy to do, really just spending just a few moments, not even a few minutes, but just a moment or two, listing just a few things that you're grateful for, having something that you can rely on in the morning that will make you feel really good. So whether it's making hot water with a few slices of lemon and starting your day with that, instead of instantly reaching for caffeine and stimulants or your phone or technology, taking just a few breaths, taking that time to have something to make you feel good, so maybe the hot water, or even better, if you can make a green smoothie in the morning. I found with a lot of the work that I've done, that one change alone can really help you, instead of having to make a lot of lifestyle changes all at the same time. It's really setting you up to do something that instantly makes you feel more awake, more energized. You're really soaking up all of the benefits in that smoothie, and that alone causes a huge shift in your whole day. It starts influencing the choices that you make, how you feel as you go throughout the day, both on a physical and a mental level as well. And so that one subtle shift alone has a huge, huge impact over time. And so I think that would be my number one tip.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Then, Jenny, do you have parting words before we look at your services and how the listeners can reach you?
I really just think that when it really comes down to it, it's not about really ever having to lose weight or restricting what you're eating or feeling like you have to do anything. I think the true changes come when you really just start to focus on how you want to feel. And so really making that your end goal, just really feeling amazing and then living an amazing life and being happy.
Mm-hmm.
And just letting that be whatever that is for you on that certain day, just becoming aware of how you want to feel and then taking the little steps to get there, knowing that that will add up over time and that you can have be or do whatever it is that you want to do in
mm-hmm.
life.
Mm-hmm. Great. Then, Jenny, would you tell us about your services and how the listeners can reach you?
Sure. So I am trained as a therapist, and I do coaching one-on-one as well as group coaching. I have a couple of projects coming up in the next few months, and all of those will be listed on my website, which is jennygiblin.com. You can also find me on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. And again, it's just my name, Jenny Giblin, and the hashtag that I use with everything is hashtag Therapize.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I haven't used Instagram yet. Is that a popular one?
Yes, you have to come on Instagram. That's probably my favorite one. I think I have about 14,000 followers on there right now, and I love it just because you can post all of kind of anything that you want, but they say pictures say more than 1,000 words, and so you can use it to post whatever it is that you want. You can just kind of document your day. I like to post kind of inspirational pictures and things like that, or just the smoothie I'm making or my dog when she wakes up in the morning, kind of anything at all. But it really helps you connect, I think, even more on a personal level. So Instagram, I think, is my favorite.
Great. Good. Would you then give us your website again, Jenny?
Yes. My website is jennygiblin.com. And I actually have a book up on there that's available to be downloaded. It's called basically The Therapized Cleanse. And so it's really just a healthy, happy kind of cleanse that gives you all of those tips in the morning. So just the little changes you can make that will, again, really cleanse your body, helping you detox just to feel amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's available right now.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, I appreciate this, Jenny. It's been interesting and will be helpful to those that are interested in a holistic approach to life and lifestyle, and I hope that we will reach the point where everyone sees the value of this.
I hope so, too. Thank you so much for having me.
Mm-hmm. My third guest, Dan Baker, known as Baker Dan, specializes in alternative cooking and baking. In 2006, he formed Baker Dan, LLC. His book, Beating Arthritis, Alternative Cooking, was published in 2013. He lives with his family in Manhattan and Warrensburg, New York. More information is available at www.bakerdan.com. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Dan, and I look forward to hearing about alternative cooking and baking. Now first, why did you choose as a chef to specialize in alternative cooking and baking?
Yeah, what happened is that when I first did the course, and this was back in 89, before we came to the United States, I'm coming from Israel, for your listeners who are wondering about my accent. So what happened is we have a very brief segment in one of the classes about alternative baking, you know, cooking without sugar or eggs or butter. And for us, it was amusing. I mean, we couldn't conceive how can you bake without these basic ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
But lo and behold, you know, I was afflicted with palindromic rheumatoid arthritis about 18 years ago, at the beginning of my 40s. And in 2006, I opened my own company, Baker Dan LLC, and I decided to concentrate in specialty cookies, gluten-free, sugar-free, lactose-free.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I did for a few years. I just manufactured, and my cookies were in stores, in supermarkets, farmers markets. So I really found it as a huge professional and personal challenge to come up with a product that will be healthy, will be tasty, and that will cater to special dietary needs.
So this
is how I came into the field.
And what is alternative cooking and baking then?
The idea is simplicity. As I'm mentioning in my book, Beating Arthritis, Alternative Cooking, what happened is that you want to have less ingredients and not more, because you want to keep the culprits out.
Mm-hmm.
And the way I did my own journey is that I started with a cleansing diet, and then I added ingredients one by one until I got into what I call a safe list. And then I made my recipes from this safe list, and I stuck to the list. The issue of self-discipline is very, very serious here. So in alternative cooking, the set of priorities is different. If usually food is at the center of celebration, food is a symbol of festivity. In every social gathering that you can imagine, you always have food. In alternative, the priorities are different. First of all, food is to nourish us, and then is to entertain us. And the idea is simplicity, to keep actually less ingredients in order to prevent the presence of these ingredients that cause inflammation.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very different approach to cooking and baking from what people are used to.
Mm-hmm. Then you have developed the Baker Dan's method of reducing and preventing inflammation. And
yes.
What is your method, Dan, and why do you think it's worth pursuing?
My method of reducing and preventing inflammation is by self-study and medically supervised diet change. And what I'm doing is I'm bringing two knowledge bases together.
Mm-hmm.
It's a
mm-hmm.
collaborative model. What I've noticed, I've been present at the birth of my three boys,
mm-hmm.
is that, you know, a child, when he's born, he or she are born, you know, first of all, we hear a scream because the air is coming out of the lungs, and then in about 10 seconds, the child goes to his mother to nurse,
mm-hmm.
meaning he or she starts eating. So what I learned very simply is that we accumulate tremendous amount of knowledge about food and ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And we know what food agree with us, and we know the ones that do not agree with us. And essentially, if we do it in a systematic way, especially when we have a chronic disease, and it can be arthritis or celiac or Crohn's disease or diabetes or whatever it is, we know essentially what foods cause us to feel bad and
mm-hmm.
which ones are healthy for us. We just feel it. It's just a matter of self-awareness. So what I do is that I bring this self-knowledge and the knowledge of the medical world together,
mm-hmm.
meaning it's not enough, and I'm saying it over and over again, to take, let's say, Baker Dan's book or somebody else's book and to run by yourself. No, it's not enough, and it's dangerous, actually, because you're flying blind. So don't fly blind. What happened is that when you're doing self-study and you come to your doctor and you said, listen, I ate this, I got inflammation. I ate that, I got inflammation. I ate the other ingredient, I'm
mm-hmm.
fine. And then the doctor is saying, okay, now let's check you. And he does a blood test. He does sometimes x-rays, you know, checking the bones, whatever examinations he or she needs to
mm-hmm.
do.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened, if you bring these two knowledge bases together, it's very, very powerful model. And I'm saying to people, absolutely don't do it by yourself for two reasons. One reason, and I think it's actually has tremendous importance, is psychological. Why deal with a chronic disease by yourself? Just
mm-hmm.
the psychological burden can kill you. I mean, it's so difficult because it's first of all, it's something new, and then it's probably frightening, and you feel tremendous amount of loneliness and confusion. So why do it by yourself? Like any other journey, if you can have it with somebody else, do it with someone else.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a psychological part. And then as far as the medical, what happened is that the doctor will give you a feedback, so you get a much better understanding of actually what is happening in your body. So it can be an MD, it can be a nutritionist, or it can be a combination of a nutritionist and an MD.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter, but I'm telling people over and over again, do not do it by yourself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Then, Dan, what are your recommendations for people who wish to use the Baker Dan method?
What I'm saying to them is, first of all, go and find a wonderful nutritionist or your family physician, and then start with the instructions from a nutritionist. Start with a cleansing diet. Usually, a cleansing diet is done when you have like a week that is not terrible workload or vacation week, because it's a cleansing diet. It has two components, again, psychological and physiological. The psychological is that it's a very, very different feeling of the food. You will feel very different. Sometimes you will feel weak, or you feel that you're not full enough. And the physical is just your body is getting adjusted.
Mm-hmm.
It takes time, so you have to be really concentrating on this, and the new sensations about the food are extremely important, because you're changing your outlook at food, your psychological outlook and your physiological.
Mm-hmm.
So you start with a cleansing diet, and then you add ingredients one by one, and you keep a log, and the log is very, very simple. Just say, hey, I ate this, after 24 hours I got inflammation, or I ate that, after 6 hours I got inflammation, or I had to take medication 3 times a week, or 4 times, or 1 time a week. And then you go to your doctor, and you sit together, and you put your log in front of you, and you tell the doctor what happened, and the doctor does his examinations and tell you what to do.
Mm-hmm.
For example, I realized after a while that I have to take supplements. And
mm-hmm.
usually anybody who reads my book sees that I think that we get all the ingredients we need, vitamins, minerals, everything. If we have a balanced diet, we get everything. But
mm-hmm.
sometimes when we have a special diet, when we have restrictions, we don't have a choice. We have to take some supplements.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
my recommendation is supplements are, for me, like any other ingredient. So especially do it with a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the way to do it. And in detail, people can find it in my book.
Mm-hmm. I have a friend who's a naturopathic doctor, and he believes the same, that you should be able to do everything you need with nutrition. But I have now a heart condition. I'm using herbs for my eyes so I don't have to have cataract surgery that I've been doing for a few years. My prostate's enlarged, and I don't want to take drugs for that. So I have a few health concerns, which means
yeah.
that the only way I can deal with it is to take some supplements. So
sure.
I do that.
Sure.
So
yeah, but you have, I read your description, your self-description, and,
mm-hmm.
and you have a tremendous amount of knowledge. But usually people who are lay persons, you know, they
mm-hmm.
just
mm-hmm.
should go and work with someone, a professional in the health professions that will help them.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise, again, they're flying blind.
Right,
yeah.
right.
And they can cause themselves more harm than benefits.
Right, right. I agree. Right. Then, Dan, can you talk a little bit about your debut cookbook, Beating Arthritis, Alternative Cooking?
Yes. What happened is that in the book, the first part, the theoretical part, which I tried very hard to make it as short
mm-hmm.
as possible, just lays out my method, my rationale, how I came to do what I'm doing. And then you have the recipes themselves. And as far as I'm concerned, the recipes are all an example of what you do when you have a safe list, meaning when you have a restricted ingredient list. And I have chapters for soups, vegetarian dishes, quiches, fish, chicken, and beef, side dishes, and desserts, meaning I want to show people that even with restricted
mm-hmm.
ingredient list,
mm-hmm.
you can still have a very varied diet.
Mm-hmm.
And people can go over and see the recipes. And I got 2 comments. First of all, some of the recipes are really a surprise for a lot of people. Like a popcorn salad, it always pops up. And also they tell me, you know what, the recipes are simple and they're affordable.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning the ingredients are truly, truly affordable. And that's the whole purpose. You know, it's not what's called a pie in the sky, but something that people can truly go out and do and help themselves.
Mm-hmm. Do you use organic foods?
Yeah, my attitude, you know, I use organic food, yes,
mm-hmm.
but
mm-hmm.
I'm not for orthodoxy in any sense,
mm-hmm.
meaning that the only thing that I would say that I truly avoid is any food with preservatives
mm-hmm.
or any processed food.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, with organic food, sometimes, yes, it's better, it's cleaner, But for a lot of people, also, it's out of reach because it's more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm not for orthodoxy. I eat both. I eat both organic and non-organic. And another thing in the book, people will see, you know, this is not a vegan book. It's not a vegetarian cookbook. You have, as I mentioned, you have recipes about fish, chicken, and beef. And I did it on purpose to show people that, you know, you can have a lot of variety and you don't have to abstain from anything as long as it doesn't cause you harm. If you know that a certain ingredient causes you harm, then that's a different matter.
Right.
But otherwise, you can eat a wide variety of foods.
Then, Dan, would you tell us about how the listeners can locate your book and also any services you have?
They can reach me, first of all, at my website, bakerdan.com. Also, they can find me at amazon.com. And in July, it will be also the printed one on barnesandnobles.com. And the book is in both in... is coming in both as an ebook and as a paperback. Yes.
Great. Good. Well, I thank you very much, Dan. It's been interesting and will be helpful to those that have conditions where they need to eat something that's different. Like I have gluten sensitivity, so I don't eat wheat, oats, rye, and barley. And, you know, it's hard sometimes to figure out, especially if it's if you're new, to figure out what you can and can't eat. And you mentioned arthritis in your book, and so then the inflammation, and so that, you know, that's interesting for the listeners too, because so many people have arthritis. So,
sure. And one thing I'm also mentioning, you know, I put arthritis in the title because I have arthritis, but in my mind, the book is applicable not only to arthritis, but to any chronic disease or inflammation that is associated with food. So it can be celiac, it can be Crohn, it can be diabetes, or, you know, even people, you know, who just want to lose weight and they want to have a different look at food. So all of these cases are applicable. So it's not only for arthritis, it is for a much larger variety of food restrictions.
Great.
And the next book, hopefully I'm planning to start it in late July, is Baker Dan, Alternative Baking, when I'll show people how to treat baking in a different manner. You know, when you don't have, again, the building blocks, like the sugar, the oil, the butter, it's very different.
Great. Well, I look forward to your book, Dan, and we'll talk again then.
Okay, great.
Good. Well, thank you very much, Dan. I appreciate it.
Sure. Thank you as well.
I thank you for joining me today on the Holistic Health Show. I invite you to my websites, www.holistichealthshow.com, where you will find all of the past shows from the last 5.5 years under the blog with a search engine so you can look for a specific topic. You will also find a place to sign up for a free monthly newsletter on holistic health and the latest information on research on cancer, also under the blog. I also invite you to my website, beatlungcancer.net, where you will find information on my latest book, You Can Beat Lung Cancer Using Alternative Integrative Interventions. You will also find endorsements. You'll find additional information about the book, and you will also find a site where you can purchase the book from me, or you can also purchase it at Amazon.com. I also invite you to join me on Facebook under Carl Helvey, or under Holistic Health Show, or under Beat Lung Cancer. I also invite you to join me on LinkedIn under Carl Helvey, or on Twitter under Holist Health Show. I hope you've enjoyed the show today, and I look forward to seeing you again in 2 weeks. I'm Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host, wishing you a great week.